Squeaky doors, clogged sinks, finicky engines. When things break around the house, you take care of it. However, when something's off in the bedroom, you just try not to think about it. Come on, man. What are you waiting for? That's a problem that needs to be fixed, so take care of it. Go to GetRoman.com/BOM now. With Roman, you can get a free online evaluation and ongoing care for ED, all from the comfort and privacy of your home. A U.S. licensed healthcare professional will work with you to find the best treatment plan. And if medication is appropriate, it ships to you free with two-day shipping. The whole process is straightforward and discreet. Getting started is simple. Just go to GetRoman.com/BOM and complete an online visit. Take care of your ED without leaving your home. Complete an online visit today to connect with a healthcare professional and take care of it. Go to GetRoman.com/BOM right now, and you'll get $15 off your first month. It's really time to take care of your ED. Remember, get started today. You'll save $15 on your first order of ED treatment. That's GetRoman.com/BOM.
Yo, you know, once again, it's bubble time. You know, I got this Jack Daniels in my cup. I got something that's, I guess, would be considered medical by my side, you know, to get this pod started off the right way.
Yes.
Shout out to everybody that's following the pod, that's listening to the pod, that's telling y'all like the pod. You know, we gladly appreciate y'all. And that other voice you hear is no other than my man. You know what I mean? You know, y'all know what it is. It's Rap Names Podcast. It's your boy Jerv, alongside my man Mariano. What's going on, homie?
Ain't nothing, man. I'm chilling. Now you got that good Jack Daniels in your cup, man. I'm drinking Voodoo Ranger Juicy Haze IPA right now. Y'all know I do the IPAs on the beer side. Don't get it twisted now. You invite me to your barbecue and you got Coronas and, you know, Bud Ice. I'm drinking that shit too. Don't ever get it twisted.
Now, you invite me to your barbecue. I'm telling you right now, I'm pulling up with the High Life.
Yeah, we drinking that too.
I dare you to say something to me. Listen, not you. I'm just saying in general. Yeah. Like, I dare you say something to me because I walk right out. High Life can't come to the party.
If the High Life not accepted, this ain't for me. I'm gonna just tell you like that, because High Life, listen, man, on the low, High Life held us down so many nights when nothing else could. Like, come on, dog. Like, it's a good beer for day drinking. It's a good beer for brunch drinking, night drink, whatever. Listen, if you drink beer,
summer drinking,
fall drink, it's really like Reggie Bush in college, dog. It's so many all purpose yards on High Life, like, for real, dog. Matter of fact, Miller High Life, if y'all listen to this, got him to cut the check. You know what I'm saying?
Cut the check, yo.
Yeah, we already drinking.
Send me some cases. I'm cool.
Listen, send the cases through. We drinking it. We already drinking. There ain't no task for us. This ain't nothing no going task. On our way and none of that.
Summertime coming up. I need the champagne of beer on deck.
The champagne of beers, you already know. That's what we are. Very much appreciate all you guys for tapping in, whether you send emails, tweets, texts, DMs, whatever. If you fucking with the pod, we fucking with you. You know that's what it is. But let's get right to it, man. Let's get to our, you know, we start the show off every week with the quick hits. Jerv, what you listening to right now, my boy?
So naturally, I was listening to Cole. You know, that drop. So I was taking that. I was giving that some time. I find myself, as everybody knows, I always find myself whenever an anniversary or something comes up, you know what I mean, or someone says something about it, I got to listen. So based off conversations last week on the OG show of talking about Come Home With Me spawned into what was that?
Killer
Purple
Season.
Haze. Purple Haze. The Purple Haze, John. And then that's that somehow, some way, spawned into to some Jeezy, Okay. So I was listening to 101.
Okay.
And then I kind of went through his catalog, you know, or whatever. So that's pretty much what I've been on, man. Like, I just went down this rabbit hole of just listening to shit that connected for me based off of just stuff people talk about.
Okay. Yeah. I'm not mad at that at all. I mentioned Killer Season because shout out to Cameron. He just celebrated the 15th year anniversary of Killer Season, the album and the movie. And that's one of my favorite Cam albums. And like, people got to realize, like, that album came at a time where it was like, all right, cool. Cam is making this transition from like, Come Home With Me has been out for a minute. Purple Haze is out. Everybody loves Purple Haze. What are you going to do next? You know what I'm saying? Like, what is he going to do next? And I think Killer Season was the, like a perfect follow-up to it. Like, it got the Get Him Daddy remix on it. It got, what's the joint? White Girls. It got Triple Up with 40 Cal. Like, it's, the Killer Season intro off the rip is one of the, like, oh my, like, don't even get me started on that album, man. There was a spot in my hood named White's. It was a music shop where if you, everybody had one of these spots in their hood where they get the music early, right? So Killer Season was due to come out, you know, whatever date it was set to come out. I get the album the night before. If I had to pay like, you know, like $25 for it because it came with it was like a DVD that came with it. It wasn't the movie, but it was a DVD that came with it. It had like some behind the scenes shit, some videos and all that type of stuff. So I paid $25 and I got the album a day in advance. So when I showed up to school, the day the album dropped and I got the deluxe joint, like, niggas was looking at me like I came in and showed them gold. I was like, yo, what is this? And I'm like, yeah, I'm really him, man. Stop playing with me. You know what I mean? Like, I was listening to that. I was listening to Babyface Ray. Shout out to Ray. Shout out to the city. He released the deluxe version of Unfuckwittable, you know, a tape he put out recently. And he added about like another five joints to it, which, you know, I'm definitely pleased with. And other than that, just Cole, really. You know what I mean? So I think we're on the same page as far as like reminiscing and going down memory lane with Cam, and then still bringing it back with Cole, which this all ties together. Cam is on the intro, you know, to the album.
I think that's what it was. I think that's what got me, dog. Like, honestly, yeah. It was that. I mean, it was definitely the anniversary, but hearing him on the intro to the album, how can I say this? It made me want to hear Cam because it's like,
yep.
I first, like, you hear the beat, and it, off top, you just like, wait, nah, because you just don't like expect something. That, right? Like, yo, yeah. Like, yo, did he take a Dipset beat? Like, what's going on here? And then you hit Killer, and it's just like, oh shit. but it was it still was disappointing because I found myself really wanting to hear Cam. Like, the whole spiral effect of listening to Cam's like albums afterwards was because, shit, I thought, you know what I mean? Like, this was the beat, like, bro, like, I'm sorry, but like, just think about that song, right? I'm one of those individuals that definitely believes I fooled with Cam back in the day. I wasn't the biggest Cam fan, but I definitely recognize Cam being nice. You know what I'm saying? Like, he was nice,
right?
You know, but I also believe, and it's not just him. It's a lot of like dudes as they get older, you know, their voice changed, and then I realized how much of a, I don't know how to say this, but how much of the total package it really was. Like, it wasn't, you know, it was Eric. So like, but that track right there, bruh, I hear it, and I'm like, yo, if there was ever a beat that was made for somebody from Dipset, preferably the head honcho, to just go off on, that was it right there, man. So it like, I like that song, but like,
it's bittersweet.
I don't get mad. Yeah, I get upset to a degree because it's like, damn, I really just went here Cam on this beat.
Yeah. No, I agree 100% because when I first put it on, shout out to Sean, shout out to Light Sean. He was like, oh, Cole got the Dipset intro, and I'm like, the Dipset intro? Like, oh, let me put this on right now. Like, what are you talking about? I'm thinking he sampled, you know, I Really Mean It, or, you know, one of those joint, you know.
I would have loved for them to say, I Really Mean It. Oh,
you know what I'm saying? Like, it was one of them type of things. When you say Dipset or Diplomats, it's certain songs that pop into my head right away. So when I put the album on, I was like, oh, this beat sound like this sound like Diplomats Volume 3. This sound like some, you know, that era when it was like, yeah, Dipset about to, they about to break through and, you know, this shit is about to go up.
Yeah, they had a crazy run.
Oh my God, listen, dog, that run, that run is so legendary, dog. It's just, it, oh man. You about to take me down memory lane with that shit, man. But when I heard Cam's voice on it, it was, for me, it kind of bridged the gap between like somebody I grew up on and then like somebody's music that I like kind of grew with. Because when Cole dropped in what, I want to say 08, 09 is when like his, yeah. So around that time I was 20, 21. And I felt myself kind of growing up with his music from that point, because like Cole always been transparent with us about where he was in his life, right? Like he's always been transparent with us, whether it's talking about college or his dealing with women or dealing with insecure, like whatever. He's always been transparent. And I think he kind of helped a lot of people kind of be like, you know what? Yeah, you're right. Like I am I am like this. So I do have these type of feelings sometimes. Or I do, you know, whatever. And but he was rapping at a high level at the same time. So, you know, everybody could respect it, like on both sides. Yeah. But hearing Cam on that definitely took me down that trip. It was nostalgic, and it kind of felt like it was a huge cosign, because I'm sure Cole, like many of us, like, yeah, that Dipset era did a lot for us, you know what I'm saying? And
hell,
you know,
yeah.
And so for him to get that, and for Cam to be on there talking his shit on some like Ric Flair type shit, it was just beautiful. And the more I sat with it, the more I was just like, fuck, like I felt like you. I was like, if we only could have got like 12 bars from Cam, I don't even, you know, whatever. I just wanted to hear him talk his shit.
He could have gave us a 4-bar joint.
Something, bro. Something. Like, but I'm optimistic that they have recorded more music. I'm sure that he didn't just get booked for that session and just talk to his shit and that was that. So I'm optimistic and partly hopeful that there's like more in the stash for them too. But My overall thoughts of the album, you know, really is that Cole did some fucking rapping on this album, man. Like high level rapping on this shit, and I'm gonna say this: I 100% believe that he was influenced by two things. One, like Reasonable Doubt Hov, with his like the way he rhyming and like the little like the fast paced kind of, you know, the rhyme scheme, and Freeway. Like a lot of people might not make that correlation. But the way he rhymed it, if you listen to Freeway, you know anything about Freeway, like the way he rhymed his shit, he'll say a word right now and then rhyme in between it and then rhyme it like 4 bars later. And Cole did like a lot of that type of style on his album. So maybe he didn't listen to Philadelphia Freeway the night before he recorded this, but I'm sure somewhere in the back of his head, that kind of style or whatever was in there, because it was a very like creative
album. You know what, bruh? You know what? I hope I didn't catch that. I'll be real, I didn't catch that. But I also wouldn't even have thought to catch that. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I'll definitely go back and check that. And if that is the case, like, you know, that yo man, shout out to Free, because that would be one hell of a like, yo, you know, flowers is deserved, because yes. Free super nice, man.
He's one of the best. He's one of the best. He has a classic album. Like, I don't, you know, Philadelphia Freeway is a classic album.
With very little pub or anything, promotion or anything.
Yeah. And you know, but those who know, like, you know, it's the, you know, how they say, if you know, you know. You know what I'm saying? But yeah, I picked up on that because I'm such a big Freeway fan that just his style is just very unique. And what I picked up on from Cole in this album was, He did the fast flow, but he said a lot. He wasn't just doing the fast flow, just trying to trick us with my tone. Like, it wasn't that. It was like, no, he's saying something for real. And, you know, Freeway did that, like, maybe not as fast paced, but the rhyme scheme itself and just like his patterns and kind of like his delivery. So, maybe it's just me being like some rap nerd or whatever. And I don't know, but I heard it and I felt that in his delivery, but the tape is good, you know, the album is very good. I think
it's a solid project.
I think that the climb back, he put the climb back out like maybe 9 or 10 months ago. Like it's close to like a year old now, but that shit sounded like 100 times better in the flow of the album than it did when it dropped. And I loved it when it dropped. But the climb back was, that shit was good. Like it was really good, bro. Like
it's classic Cole, bro. Like,
yeah.
And I mean, I'll say that. I definitely like the album. I think the album is really good.
Yeah.
You know, it's like most of his albums. I listen to it, and then I like, you know, I listen to it so I can say I listen to it. You know, but I you know, I always have to go back and
yeah,
and like, and like get in the right zone.
Yeah.
You know, like I might be on the move for an hour or so, you know, like over the weekend. So mm-hmm. here you go, perfect time, throw it on, zone out, and just vibe and listen to the Joan and just really appreciate it. Absolutely. But it's definitely a solid project. Cole, I mean, listen, man, what you expect? If you fool with Cole, 9 times out of 10, you're going to like his projects.
Yes.
Yeah. If you don't fool with Cole, you're going to have other stuff to say about it or whatever. And that's perfectly fine. Everybody's entitled to their opinion. I accept that he's one of those artists. I may not understand it. I may not get it because I'm just like, yo, boy, it's nice. Like, why doesn't everybody just like him?
Right. Yeah.
But, yeah. I mean, listen, I get it. I mean, I don't get it, but I get it.
No, 100%, because to me, and I've said this before, to me, J. Cole is, I don't want people to take this the wrong way when I say it, but he's like the perfect rapper. You know what I'm saying? I'm not saying like he's the best rapper of all time or he's the perfect rapper because he does everything. He makes the song that's radio friendly. He makes the song that's friendly for the women. He makes the song that's hard that you could just play and be like, damn, like this shit is just, you know, then he'll just have a song where he's just dumping the whole song. He's just, you know, rapping. And you know, you don't usually find that. It's like, oh yeah, that dude over there, yeah, you want to, you know, he make the girl rhymes, or that dude make the, I think Cole is a mix. He makes all of those. You know what I mean? Like he's not perfect, obviously. Like no rapper, few rappers are, bro. Few rappers are, but you know, Cole is definitely somebody.
When you're a perfect rapper, you know what you are. Like you're a legend. You know, absolutely. Like you're a true GOAT of the game. Yes. And I'm not saying Cole isn't. Or it doesn't have the potential to be or whatever. So that's not what I'm saying. I'm just making, you know, when you get those perfect rappers, bro, like that's why certain people's legacies will always just live on and so forth. Cause you just see that they were just a perfect.
There was something different about them and you hold them in high regard. And when their name is brought up, you defend them a certain way because it's like, nah, that's not just a regular dude. You can't just put him in a regular conversation. Like, let's not do that.
No, sir.
But shout out to Cole. You know, I've sat with that album a lot since it dropped, and every time I play it, I have to spin it from like top to bottom. I find myself trying to go back to like, you know, I do have a couple of favorites. I will say that "Pride Is the Devil" is like, oh my god, like that song is incredible because it's a message in the song, but it's so catchy and so, you know, you can sing along with it. And I think that's like that's part of the like the medicine and the applesauce shit, where it's like, yeah, I'm gonna give you a song you can sing along to, but listen to what I'm saying to you at the same time. Cause this shit can help you. You know what I'm saying? Like, that may be my early pick for like, if you just ask me right now, if I had to pick a favorite on the album, I would probably say "Proud as a Devil." But then "Close" is another one because what he did just like with rhyming, just like the last word, like, you know, "In your eyes, I seen hope." Like Cole has this way of, and this is the one thing I like about Cole the most, right? Before we like, you know, get into the other shit and all that. The one thing I like about Cole the most is that he makes me view like losing someone, not in the traditional sense of like, oh yeah, man, that they took my nigga. They took a real, it's like, no, like the world lost somebody. Even if they didn't know my homie or they didn't know my brother or your brother or whoever, the world lost somebody. And like, you know, he talks about it from a perspective of like, this is what the world lost, not just what I lost, not just what, you know, they took from me or whatever. Like, he talks about the people that he lost in the sense of like, I saw hope in your eyes. I saw that you could do this or whatever. And he's always had a way with that, you know, and it always made me kind of feel a little bit like heard or seen or understood when it comes to how I feel about losing my brother. You know what I'm saying? So I can appreciate Cole for reasons beyond just his rhyming ability. Like, I think he's just a great guy. You know what I mean? So, but I love the album. Shout out to Cole. Shout out to everybody. Shout out to Dreamville and all that. Shout out to the guys. It's a great album. I love it. I'm listening to it. I bought the shirt, man. I bought the fucking Slam Magazine shirt, the J. Cole Slam Magazine shirt and shit. I might get that shit framed, nigga. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
For real. Yeah, man. But real quick, what I want to do real quick, Jerv, because a lot of people reach out to us and you know what they comment on? They comment on our ability to you know, reach them on like a real life level. You know what I'm saying? Like giving them advice or gems and shit like that. And something I want to start is like, just like a, just some, you know, a segment weekly or whatever, where we just kind of give them some real life shit in between. You know, I know y'all come for the music and the rap talk and all that, and that's cool. But this week I want to talk about people investing in themselves and like my outlook on it and my advice to people. Like, and the one thing I will say is this, I encourage everybody to invest in themselves, invest in what you're really trying to do out here in life, what you're passionate about. And that doesn't necessarily just mean, oh, you have to have disposable income in order to do this. Like, I mean, invest in yourself, yeah, financially, but mentally, physically, spiritually, all of that. Like, really focus in on who you are and what you're trying to do. And, you know, see it through. Like, if you might be a dude with a desk job, bro. Like, if you got a desk job, cool. If you're content with that job, cool. Go buy you the motherfucking, I'm sure it's a $30 ink pen out there that, you know what I'm saying? Probably some shit out there, $100 ink pen, whatever. And you might feel, you know what I'm saying? You filling out some shit and you like, yeah, I'm putting it, I'm doing my thing with this shit. This shit make me feel better about what I'm doing. Like, just invest in yourself, man. If you got a podcast, if you, you know, streaming on Twitch, YouTube, whatever, invest in like the lighting and the, you know, the soundproofing your room or the mic that you want. Like, don't sell yourself short. You know what I mean? Like, and these are things that I've learned myself and getting advice from people who I look up to and people who inspire me just in my everyday life, who it's just like, nah, don't teach yourself. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you know it's gonna cost you $20 to eat good, don't settle for some shit that costs $9 just for the sake of, you know, like treat yourself for real. You know what I'm saying?
Nah, I feel you, bro. Like, hell yeah, invest in yourself. You really all you got.
Yeah.
You all you got, yo. Like, at the end of the day, you know, you have a support system. Yeah, your peoples, you have this, that, and the third. But I mean, at the end of the day, like, legit, like, all you have is yourself.
Yeah. Nobody gonna make you, like, nobody can make you want it more than you want it. You know what I mean? Like, even if you land in your bed getting that extra hour of sleep, you might need that extra hour so that you can go be productive for 12 hours straight. So don't beat yourself up about, man, I'm resting a little bit too long. I'm doing, like, nah, listen to your body and listen to yourself. So that's what I mean by investing in yourself. Like, really understand and take time to figure out, like, who you are and what you require, you know, to be productive. You know what I mean? And do that, you know, like, and watch videos and read the literature on it and, you know, do the knowledge on whatever field it is you're getting into, you know, because I look around and I see a lot of my homeboys who were in different positions 3 years ago than they are now because they did the knowledge, you know what I mean? Like right now they're excelling in this shit because before they might have just been like, nah, I'm thinking about getting into this. And it's like, nah, bro, do that shit. But when you do it, make sure you're doing it for real. You know what I mean? Like, make sure you know what it takes to get to that point of in your head when you see something as being successful, or like, this is that's like the end of the rainbow for me. Like, that's the pot of gold over there. Like, yeah, like, do that. You know, do what it takes to get there. And that's just what I want to, you know, give y'all this week, man. You know what I mean? Because a lot of people, like I said, they reach out and, you know, they hit us up for, you know, things beyond rap and just like us talking about music and shit like that. But, you know, if you don't listen to nothing else I say, like, listen to that and, you know, really understand what it takes and what it means to invest in yourself. You know what I'm saying? Like, for real, like real shit. But let's get to this. You know, it's some shit I've been wanting to discuss for a minute, man. It's something in music, and I think it only happens in rap. I feel like it only happens in our culture, but it's the double standard when it comes to like classics versus like trash, right? And those are like two extremes of the scope when you're talking about a song, a project, or whatever it is. But I feel like this is a double standard when it comes to it, right? Like, people can diagnose trash immediately, but you're not allowed to diagnose like a classic immediately, like at all. So, like, how do you feel about the, you know, do you feel like it's a double standard? Do you feel like it's different standards? Like, what's your thoughts on that, classic versus trash?
So I don't necessarily know if it's a double standard. I can see why one would think it is a double standard, but why one would like be like, it's not fair if it has a double standard, but I mean, it's just a double standard, bro. Like, the reason I can tell you something is trash is if I give it a spin and I give it a proper spin and I hear the shit and I'm just like, I'm cool on this shit. it's trash to me. Like, you know, if it's trash, it's trash. Like I don't need to give it time to justify if it's trash. You're the artist's job is to come up with something for its fans that grabs them. Whether it grabs them and goes, yo, this joint's amazing, or if it grabs them and goes, yo, I gotta sit on this. But the artist's job is to create something to grab us or whatever. I mean, let me apologize. The artist is putting out their artistic vision of something. That is their, you know, their thing. But as far as it correlates with their fans, their job is to create something that their fans are going to take to. That's why they're your fans. With a classic album, I feel like we, how can I say it? I feel like we hold being a classic to such a high. Because there was a point in time everybody was like, oh, that's a classic. It's a classic. It's a classic. So at least for myself, like I hold a classic, calling something classic, like to like a certain level. And so therefore, I don't really need long to know if something's a classic in my eyes, right? Like, okay. Bro, if I listen to a joint all the way through and I'm just like, yo, this joint crazy. Like, there's not one skip on it, right? And then I find myself coming back the next day and I'm listening to it at the same time, you know, over and over again. You know, it's a classic, bro. Like, this is a classic album. You know what I mean? I do think that it's easier to call something trash than it is to call something classic.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, classic, depending on what your genre of music that you're talking about and like, classic means certain albums.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. Reasonable Doubt, Illmatic, Life After Death, and, you know, like shit like that. Like, you don't even have to think about it. You know what I'm saying? Like, you don't even have to hesitate. You're not on the fence. When somebody says the name of these albums, it's like, classic. Yeah, that's one of those. But I ask that because it's like, with the Cole album, but not just with the Cole album, right? But Cole album, I listened to it all the way through several times. And I was like, yo, this shit is like, I wish we can clip that of you saying like, this shit crazy. Like,
yo, this joint crazy.
Cause that was like a real, you know what I mean? Like getting that feeling from music is like, oh my, like I haven't had that feeling from music since I heard, I want to say like Tana Talk 3. Tana Talk 3, in my opinion, is a classic. Like, that album is insane, dog. Like, the shit he was saying, the beats, just, dog, like, I can't even, I'm getting mad right now because I don't even have enough time to, like, talk about, like, everything that was great about that album. But, you know, that question came in my head because it's like, something could drop right now, you can call it trash, but then, like, 2 years from now, if you spin it and you're like, wait a minute. Damn, like this shit really was, you know what I'm saying? Like, so is
I mean, I say this, bro. If I call something trash, usually when I hear it again, usually when someone spins it again, I still think it's trash. Like, it's been very few times where someone spun something and my perspective on it is going from it's being trash to something that I'm like, oh, you know what I mean? It's actually like, that's a huge jump.
But it's also levels too. So, but the reason why I say trash or classic, because those are the extreme ends of the spectrum. Like, and a lot of people go there, especially on like social media, but there are levels to things too, because there are certain songs or albums that I may have listened to one time and was like, yeah, it's okay. But then later my opinion on it can go up. But like Jerv said, I don't know if I've ever listened to something that I thought was trash and like my opinion went like the other direction much. You know what I'm saying? Like it still was trash. Maybe I found the bright spot on the album that I maybe didn't look for before and I was like, oh, okay, well,
the best you get when I say album trash is if somebody plays a track and I'm like, that joint's all right. Like, the tracks are, but you gotta think that's one of minimum eight, most likely 12 to 15.
I was just about to say, let's say out of a 13. So okay, let's talk about what makes something, because we know what makes something classic, right? Like something, and then you also have personal classics. Like, you got personal classics. To me, a personal classic is like, you may have found the album when you were 21 years old at a pivotal point in your life. And that album was the soundtrack to your shit.
Yeah, because that I won't call those classics.
You wouldn't, but it would be a personal classic to you. Because every time you hear it, it would be like, oh shit.
Here's the thing. This is one of them joints where, like, I hear you, I understand you, and I agree with what you're saying, but I just can't put the classic word on it. So what I call those is, like, I say it's one of my favorite albums.
Okay. Okay.
You know what I mean? Like, one of my favorite albums.
So so your thing is the word classic, period.
Like, yeah, like, the word classic means a lot to me, bro. Like,
No, that make perfect sense, and that's kind of where people need to kind of start, and that's why I wanted to talk about this anyway, to have a conversation, is because I want to know if people are putting more emphasis on, like, the word classic and what that means.
I think that's what it is, dude. Okay. I think, and it really does depend on your age bracket to keep it 100 with you, right?
Yeah.
It really does your age bracket, and the genre that you're listening to, right? Yep. I mean, those things are very much important. I'm not saying that someone that's 18 doesn't appreciate Reasonable Doubt or whatever. I'm saying that most people my age would have issues that probably calling certain things classics, because in our mind we automatically put it up against these type things, which isn't fair.
I got you.
To that album, right? So, like, that's why, like, when people tell me, you know, like, hell, what was it, Good Kid, Mad City, all top, first time I heard that, I was like, it's a classic album. Like, it's not even up for debate.
Same.
Not one song is skippable. Nothing, right? Like, but like I need that type reaction in order to call something a classic. You know what I mean? Like, it's got to be that drone where it's just like, yo, and I don't give, enough of the new youngins, you know, enough spins to know if their drones are classic, because it's not going to be a classic. It's not going to be that, right? But like, when Benny and them drop, I listen to their drones. I may not think certain things are classics or whatever, but you understand why.
Absolutely.
I think things is classic. It's just because when I hear classic, I think about certain things. Them Jones, and I'm like them Jones is dope albums. They just not there for me, and I mean, that's not fair.
Yeah, see, and that's why I think it need to be like. That's why I'm starting to try to compartmentalize when it comes to certain eras, because it's like, no album I listen to today is going to make me feel like Illmatic made me feel, or like Reasonable Doubt or Blueprint. None of it. Like, it's, but it can't, though. Not because the music is not good, but it can't, because that feeling can never be like replicated. You know what I'm saying? Like, it just dude, honestly can't.
That's why like, yo, I understand exactly what you're saying. That's why when Good Kid, Mad Kid City came out, I like, that feeling came back, and I was just holy shit. But I don't hear that a lot with albums anymore. Yeah. Well, no, you know what? I'm lying to you. Witcher Cult was a classic album to me. What was Push last, John?
Daytona?
Daytona.
Listen, don't even get me started on Push, bro.
I contradict myself, because there's a song that I skip on it. And it's not because of anything other than I just think Kanye's verse is so, like, annoying. Like, I feel like that's so annoying that, but the song is dope. The
song is fire.
Push is dope, right?
Yeah,
so, like,
I got you.
But, like, to me, so, like,
that's a classic.
That's a classic album, and I got that feeling when I listened to it. I was like, yeah.
Yeah, I got that feeling from, I got that feeling from Darkest Before Dawn too. Like, this is turning to like Push.
He's got multiple, bro. He's got more. Yeah, like, we gonna have plenty of time. Let's not.
This is gonna turn into a whole Push. We gonna have a Pusha T pod soon. Like, don't even worry about that. We're gonna do a whole Daytona, like, probably, you know, something like that. But yeah, so I guess that's why I want to get like the definition, or like what you hold as a classic, because when you say something is trash, are you saying it's trash because there's no redeeming, like, nothing about, like, or is it like, is it not for you, or is it just like, yeah, this shit is just not good, period?
So,
you know what I'm saying?
All right, so trash for me, and understand that this, we're talking specifically music, right? Like, movies is different to me with trash, right? But like, with music,
yeah, obviously,
music for me, it's like, yo, if I believe it or not, I go into listening to music saying, I accept this for what it is.
I don't believe that, but all right.
Meaning, I accept if I'm not about to turn on Young Thug.
Oh yeah, no.
Expect
no.
to hear hope.
Yeah, nah. Like, listen, I'm 100%. I'm 100% talking shit because Jerv absolutely, for all the listeners out there, like Jerv absolutely will hear the name of the artist or whoever it is and be like, okay, I'm gonna listen to it, but I'm gonna listen to it as this person, not as like up against the field. I'm gonna listen to it.
And if stuff like my thing is this, no matter who it is, no matter what your style is, I only like one thing. I need bars. I just want some bars. That's it. I don't care how it happens. I just want some bars.
He said, okay, I
so if I'm realizing that you are doing all that new stuff or whatever, and you don't have bars, and I'm not trying to say they gotta be double and triple entendres. I'm not even saying that. Like, I'm not even putting y'all on them pedestals. Right. I'm saying, like, there has to be some flow. There has to be some pattern. There has to be something to it. And I'm just right. like, okay, this is what that person does. I can respect that, right?
Yeah.
But when it's not that and it's just words going together and they're just saying dumb stuff, it's like, I can't get. So, like, that's why I'm like, yo, this is trash, yo. And the beats aren't good.
Yeah.
Like, beats play a very big part in it, too. Like, the beat has to catch me.
You know what? You know who does that for me right now? As far as, like, new artists or whatever? I don't know if you... I mean, I guess you can still consider them new artists, but, like, Durk does that for me. Lil Durk does it. He has some very, like, slick shit. Like, he says a lot of shit where I know, like, yeah, he's around some real people because the shit that he's saying is, like, very specific lingo. ESTG does that for me, and it's like the shit he's saying is very specific. Like, my taste in rap is specific. Now, I do listen to just some other shit where it's like I don't, you know. And again,
sometimes it calls for the other shit, bro. Like, yeah, it really does,
right? And I'm like Jerv when it comes to that, where it's like I'm gonna take this for what it's worth. Like, when I listen to Gunna's album, I wasn't listening to Gunna's album thinking he's gonna be fucking Raekwon. Like, no, he's Gunna. Like, but let me hear what you do. Let me hear you do this at a high level, what you do. Not what they're doing or you trying to be.
Like Joey Badass, right? Like, I fuck with Joey Badass, right?
I do too.
I fuck with Dave East. I'm not really listening to them. Although Dave East tries to sometimes, he does have some joints. I'm not really listening to them on the vibe like, yo, like I'm trying to get turned up. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm trying to grow. Right. It's like, nah, like I'm listening to them on some like, yo, I'm vibing, I'm grooving. You know, whatever. So, like, I'm accepting them for what they are.
For what they right? are, right. Yeah.
But.
I get it. It make perfect sense because it's like, I don't, when people be like, wait a minute, you listen to, you know, this person, you listen to them, and it's like, yeah, the duality of man. Who would have thought, bro? Like, yeah, I can listen to Nas and then listen to whoever. Like, even Nas said itself, like, bro, I don't want to hear my shit in the club. Benny said that. Benny the Butcher said, bro, he walk into the club and the DJ's like, yo, what record you want me to play? And he's like, nigga, if you don't play the City Girls, nigga, this motherfucker, like, don't play none of my shit in here. It's the club. Man. Don't play no fucking Benny in here. You crazy? Man, yeah, like, we ain't come here for that.
Play Megan Thee Stallion's.
Play all of that. Bro. And all of it, bro. If it's going to get the club turned up to how you want to play it. So it's
bro,
like.
I will not turn on Cardi B to save my life. But listen, if I don't hear Cardi and Nicki.
In the club, yeah. In the club, they what fumble. Are we doing? This is, yeah, this is, yeah. This absolutely. And so it's like, so I think for me. What I think is trash is if I go into your project, your song, whatever, and you're presenting this to me as this version of you, and it's not good, I can't fuck with it. Then it's just trash. And I don't, you know, a lot of people think that I like everything, but I'll tell you a reason why they think that. Because I do this thing, I do this weird thing, right? It's this super weird thing I do where I only talk about things that I like, right? I know it's weird. I know, like, I know a lot of people get on it online every day and they talk about shit they hate and, you know, whatever. But yeah, I'm weird like that. I only talk about the things I like. So it would seem like I like everything. It's just that I only talk about the shit that I like, because why give my energy to some shit that, unless I'm asked, if you ask me about something, I'll give you my opinion and tell you I didn't like it. But I'm not going to just volunteer no reason, just wake up like, oh yeah, good morning, yeah, this shit is whack. Like, I'm not doing that. Just if you ask me, I'll tell you this shit is whack.
And you know, it's funny, it's the same thing here. Like, everybody thinks I hate everything, right?
It's just you asked about it.
Right? Like, you tell me to watch something and you want my opinion on it, I think it's trash. Yo, this one's trash.
Right, exactly. I'm not just gonna volunteer this shit or whatever, but you know, at the same time, you know, if you ask me about a project, you ask me about a rapper, I'm gonna tell you, I don't like them. I don't like this. I don't like that. But I'm not gonna spend my time talking about some shit that I don't fuck with just because, just for sport or whatever. But yeah, I do feel like people need to ease off of both of those ends of the spectrum. Everything is not a classic, you know, that's good, and everything that's bad is not trash. It may just not be for you. It may have caught you at the wrong time, like whatever, you know what I'm saying? Like, but people seem to do this, like within 24 hours, they like, oh yeah, well, this is trash. And it's like, cool, but I might like it though. Or I might say something that's classic and you might not like it. So it's like, you know, it's subjective. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's really what it is. Certain shit can't be debated. Like, when we're talking about Good Kid, M.A.A.D City, like, come on, you're not going to tell me that album is bad. Like, you're just not. I don't care where you're from, what you did, none of that. Like, you're just not going to tell me that album is not good. I don't even care if you don't think it's a classic. That's fine, but you're not going to tell me it's not good. Same with Daytona. Not going to tell me Daytona's not good. Infrared is one of the best diss songs I ever heard in my life. I heard a lot of diss records in my life. That shit is elite. Like, I quote that shit like a lot when people ask me about Push and all this. Oh my God. Like I said, but I could spend so much time talking about that goddamn album, man. I won't right now. But but Jerv, I want you to put your A&R hat on right now. I want you to put your curating hat on right now, or whatever you want to call it. Because I got a little situation for you, little scenario for you, my boy. So you have a posse cut, right? You got a posse cut. For those who may be too young, still got the milk behind the ears and all that, posse cuts are like the old school, you know, Reservoir Dogs and, you know, like that. That's probably the most, you know, that one, Band from TV, you know what I'm saying? Like these type of songs where it's like, all right, mm-hmm. Let's just go in. We're going to get, you know, 3-4 guys, whatever. Usually it's like four. I guess maybe four is like the, you know, the standard, you know, that's the floor level when you're talking about like a posse cut. So what I want you to do right now for me is you get to pick one producer to produce this song, and then you got four rappers. It could be past, present, whatever. And let's assume all these rappers are in their prime, because usually that's kind of what the, you know, what it calls for. Who you going with for your posse cut?
So I've been thinking about this, John, and I've been trying to figure out every way. I was like, damn, do I ask him for five? Because Band for TV had more than four on it.
If you want to do five, you can do five. I just want four minimum. Just four minimum.
Oh, got you. So naturally, I'm going to have Hov on it. Everyone's in their prime. So I got Hov.
Okay.
We got So Shortchanged when not having Hov and Big Dude more songs together.
Oh, my God.
I'm definitely having both of them together. I want Push on the album. Because I feel like Push would relish the moment and just really be like, yo, I'm on the track with these two motherfuckers. Like, he would come with some crazy shit.
Yeah.
I'm going to cheat. In my fourth slot, I'm going to do, Jadakiss is one of my favorite rappers to ever touch a microphone.
Yes.
But I recognize that Styles Prime is kind of sort of been kind of long, and I think that his prime, put it like this, I would have them go back and forth for a verse.
Yes, 100%.
You know what I'm saying? Yep. I would definitely have them go back and forth for a verse. And then honestly and truthfully, bruh, like I feel like I would want, like, Ghostface, one of my favorite rappers ever. Yes. I would kind of probably like try and have him and his chef go back and forth to round out
that's an ill dynamic, two back and forth on the same. Yeah, that's fire.
And I'm old school, so my beats, I would like to say I would take like Timbo or something like that, because I feel like he would come hard with it, or classic Ye.
Okay.
But I feel like for this type beat, and I feel like we didn't get enough of it. I would have Premier make the beat.
Okay. I kind of figured you was going to go Premier.
I had to go Premier. Yeah, going to make the beat. No, I feel like he'd be perfect for that joint.
No, I respect that. And I think the dynamic of your song that I would like is the two back and forth, because it's like, oh shit, you got Kiss and Styles, but then you got Chef and Go. Like, yeah, I would like that. I think for me, if So you want to just do five, right? Like you want to do five rappers. So I'm gonna have obviously like the most predictable first pick ever, like Benny the Butcher. Come on now, obviously.
I thought you was gonna say Lloyd Banks.
First. No. Lloyd Banks is the second one. Lloyd Banks is the second one. So Banks, I'm gonna have Benny. I'm gonna have Lloyd Banks. I'm gonna have Cameron third. Mm. Then it's tough to round it out with the two, man. Like it really is. But I do wanna have Pusha T on there, because when I thought about this question, Push came to mind. I was just like, yeah, I need to hear it. Like I need to hear Push in one of these type of settings. And then really, you know, that fifth spot, man, you know, I gotta have Kiss on there. I have to. It's certain dudes that's just universal. Like Kiss, you see Kiss and Push both made our list. Like it's certain dudes you have to hear on, you know, on these type of songs. Now, honorable mention for me would be like Freddie Gibbs. You know what I'm saying? Like Gibbs is a super competitive dude. And I think that when you get him old around other dudes that rap, yeah. Old School Fab, oh my old God. Old School Fab, man, listen, be, Fab Sport, Fabulous that, yeah. Sport. Y'all niggas really wasn't outside riding around with the windows down and shit when he was Fabulous Sport, man. I know, man. You know,
yeah.
You know.
Fab would definitely have to be, yeah.
He was brutal. He was brutal with it, man. Yeah. But yeah, I think, and for the beat, I'm gonna say Alchemist. Alchemist is my favorite producer ever. And I think that he would probably make a beat that, like, not even probably, definitely would make a beat that these guys are listening to and be like, nah, I gotta write the verse of my life for this shit. Fuck whoever is on this shit. I gotta write the verse of my life, because
yeah,
this beat is just screaming. Like the Alchemist beats be screaming at you, like you better come with some shit. Like you hear me? You hear what I sound like? Like you better bring it, motherfucker. Yeah. So I think those would be some good. Yeah, I ain't gonna lie. That song you talking about, man, with the two back and forth, man. I'm feeling that. Like that's dynamic,
man. I feel like I shortchanged myself. I feel like if everybody's in their prime, I should have made Push and Malice go back and forth.
Oh my, but listen, if you had a song with just three back, you could just change this song to just three back and forth joints with like six. Oh my God. Like that would be crazy. I don't think that's ever been done. Has it? Like, I'm sure
it's
that has
just a whole bunch of back and forth.
Like, yeah. That's crazy. Like what if we got Hov and Siegel doing that or something? Or no, Siegel and Chris. Cause they did the Home of Philly joint. Listen, man. Hey man, listen, fuck it, man. Yeah. You about to make me go back and listen to all type of old shit now, man.
Should have been an A&R back in the day.
Nah, dead ass, man. For real, man. We got a couple of emails. We got a couple of emails I'm going to read off. Just two joints real quick. One of them is from my man Neo. My man Dwight, shout out to Neo. He always support the pod. You know what I mean? He always bigging up the guys and shouting us out and shit. So, you know, definitely shout out to Neo.
Appreciate you, Neo.
Yeah, man. You know, and he starts it off. He says, as always, I got to send love to the show. Let you know both of you brothers are doing an excellent job with this. And I'm loving every minute. But I need to just let y'all know this right quick. I'm greatly inspired by this most recent episode, and I'm putting my boots to the ground and locking in with one of my best friends to start our show. All right, that's good shit, man. I told him before too, man. You know his voice is needed out here, because like I know Neo in real life, like he's a good dude. You know, they say start our show. I'm only halfway through episode 10, but this one is opening the gates for me creatively, as you are all speaking about your lives as men, the wives, etc. And as I mentioned to Mari before, I've always wanted to do a show centered around us as husbands, fathers, and men out here doing the right thing. And this is just what I needed. Y'all always rep for the good dads, but this talk here with the homie Anthony Canton III got me inspired. Fantastic job, my G's. Peace, peace. Shout out to you,
Appreciate you, bro.
Shout out to you, bro, for real, man. You know, and like I said, like I started the show with this, you know what I'm saying? Just inspire, you know, we want to come here for more than just like rap and talk about hip hop. Like we do that on a regular, but we still men at the end of the day, and we want to inspire the next man to inspire the next and so on and so forth. So, you know, reading stuff like that just kind of, you know, brings it all together for me, man. We got one more from John Blackwell. Shout out to John, man. He says, fellas, back in good old 2009, I saved a spot in my top five for Jay Electronica when I first heard Exhibit C and Ghost of Christopher Wallace. His spot has since been took by Conway. Do you have similar do you have a similar person who you instantly reacted like that to and who ended up in their place? Oh man. Oh, that's a good question. You couldn't tell me you really could not tell me that G2K wasn't like the next.
Wow.
You couldn't tell me G2K wasn't the next nigga. Like he was the bro, I heard him on like 3 or 4 joints back to back during like that whole Kazad LimeWire era when Rockefeller just had a bunch of just joints out there. And I'm like, yo, Gita is the he the future. His spot was quickly replaced by Young Chris. And it never got relinquished because like as soon as I heard Young Chris, like I already was probably listening to like Banks and you know Cassidy and everybody else. But when I heard Young Chris, I was like, nah, fuck what I was talking about before. This the nigga right here. Like he's the he the next one, bro. Like so that would probably be my closest to having that situation happen with me.
So for me, I definitely don't have anyone that I heard and I was like, oh, they're in my top five or whatever, like ever. Like no, but
oh yeah, no, not top five ever. But I for me, it was like current rotation. Like
But I know he said he had a spot for Jay Electronica. In the
oh
top
yeah,
five.
Nah, hell no, nah, ain't no way.
So I just wanted to make it clear. But I think for me it was when Major Figures dropped.
Shout out to Gilly,
more specifically Gilly, Dutch and Spade. For the most part,
shout out to Live with the Don, man.
You know what I mean? Shout out to the whole Figures, you know what I'm saying? Like, you couldn't tell me they wasn't about to be the biggest in the game, yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, Philly was on the map, whatever, you know, stuff happens, you know, all types of other shit. You hear this, you hear that. I mean, I'm not even here for all that, you know what I'm saying? I just know that when they dropped I forget the mixtape they had, that shit was. I mean, dog, like I was just sitting and just like, this show's crazy. Yo, ain't no way that they not about to take over the game. Da 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 yada yada. You know, everybody got deals, but you know, whatever. So for me, I would say it was like Gil and Dutch and not necessarily Dutch, but Gil and Spado the most.
Spado is God, Spado was so nice, man. Oh man.
Yeah.
Spado was dead. He's still nice. Like it's a tape. I want to say who was it? Who was the tape a couple years ago? I know it was Lava. It might have been Dutch and Spade. I want to say it was Dutch and Spade, but it was like Lava was on the tape. It was one of them and Lava was on the tape. But they, yeah, man. Shout out to that whole. Well, shout out to Gilly. Shout out to you know Gilly and Wallow. You know what I mean? $1 million worth of game shit is fire. Shout out to them for real, man. Because you know Gilly has always seemed like that cool like uncle. Older uncle, you know what I'm saying? Older big brother type shit, you know, and all that. But yeah, man, yo, so, you know, appreciate y'all for the emails and all that type of shit, man. You know, again, shout out to everyone that's been supporting us, you know, rating us, commenting, liking, subscribing, reviewing, telling a friend to tell a friend. Shout out to y'all, man. You know, we gonna keep this shit on, you know, coming on. Every week, every Sunday, you can catch us. Check us on that on the bomb feed. Check us on Spotify, Google, all that good shit. But yeah, man, we out.